This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We want our next bid to be up right now. $600 is where the current bid is for the Bay with the KNC Masterpiece, Brian Broaddus, Craig Ludwig, and Mike Adams. That is World Series experience, Stanley Cup champion, Super Bowl champion, scout. So there you go right there. And that's only for $600 and 4 hours of Top Golf. So, yes, Kel, you're in? You're already betting on it?
I'll be there.
877-881-1053. It is for Jared Sandler swinging for a cause.
I hope Bacon bids on it.
Bacon will not bid on it. I guarantee it.
That'd be awesome.
If the next caller that bids says their name is Bacon, I will buy them three drinks. All right, if they can handle it. I could do something else, but I don't know what. But yeah, man, that's what we're looking forward to. Is this Sunday we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be out there partying. The entire station's going to be out there partying, and I do believe our good friend Mike Bassick will be there partying as well this Sunday. Mike, are you a good top golfer?
No, not really.
Okay,
but I've gotten a lot better at golf through the last 3 or 4 months.
Have you ever played golf?
I haven't played in like 7 or 8 days.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
It's a good question.
I have. Okay. Multiple times. Good movie.
Weird story that I don't know if I want to tell right now, but my dad has moles in his yard, and he's trying to figure out how to get rid of them. I was like, dynamite.
On my skin. Do you recommend dynamite on my skin?
Yes.
Oh, my good God. How did it get out of control so quickly?
All right, let's talk a little baseball, Mike. We had the report yesterday from Bob Nightingale that the Rangers are deemed the favorite right now in the action for Anthony Rendon. And then Evan Grant said that they have met face-to-face. There has been a face-to-face meeting. When it comes to Boris in general, and the Rangers, what's that relationship like?
It's a good relationship. He also has a very good relationship with the Washington Nationals, too. So Boris, as much as we can maybe crush on him and say he's horrible, he's actually the best at his job in the world when it comes to being an agent.
That's why I hate
really
him, because
weird.
He gets all the money.
Yeah, because he helps out the players the most. But I would say I was a little bit surprised with this just because over the weekend, and I can't remember where I read it from. I don't think it was T.R. Sullivan, but I remember T.R. Sullivan, and I used it yesterday in Nuggets on Miguel Andujar, how the Rangers have had discussions with the Yankees on possibly trading for Andujar, who doesn't have a spot now with the Yankees because of what Gio Urshela did. And then I can't remember if it was in that report, but I was reading multiple things. And then one of the things over the weekend said, well, the Rangers might not really be in on Rendon because they already know kind of what the price is going to be, and they thought it was going to be too much. And then last night, early this morning, you read, wait, the Rangers have had a face-to-face meeting with them, and maybe there's a strong possibility that it's going to end up being a marriage.
Would there be any possibility for a position shift for Andujar? Because quite frankly, I'm sorry if this hurts people's feelings. I think you can look at it and say that the Rangers have no infielders.
Well, I'd say Elvis has to be, just at his salary.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's $16 million that he has to be in the infield. And right now, I still think he's an average defensive shortstop. I know there's a lot of people that kind of have things that say he's below average. And I know his range is not what it was when he was younger, but I still think he can play shortstop for now. And you're right, with Andujar, he's not a very good defensive third baseman. He doesn't have horrible hands. I just wonder if you gave him a first baseman's mitt. He puts up the numbers to be a good first baseman. So I'm with you. If you traded for Andujar, it does not have to be at third base.
And then as far as Rendon goes, I'm curious, and this is something we kind of kicked around earlier. What would this mean for the Rangers, the franchise, and would it move the needle with the fan base? Because I know he's an awesome player, top six MVP 3 times already. He's only 29. But I don't know if he's like a household name for a lot of just casual baseball fans. So would this move the needle with the fan base, and would move the needle for the team?
I think it would because they just won the World Series. And so he was the best player on the World Series team. Now, I know Strasburg won the MVP in the World Series, and Juan Soto made a lot of noise because of being 20 years old and how great he is at 20 years old. But the best player on the team that just won the World Series was led by Anthony Rendon. So if you were able to pull off taking the best player off the team that just won the championship, I do think that would move the needle for Ranger fans. And you would see maybe more people say, you know what, I am going to get a 10-game package or a 20-game package. I'm not exactly sure how it all works. But I do think this would bring more excitement to the 2020 season if you landed the biggest position player on the free agent market.
Man, and then that money right there, if you're pulling in that money, A, it justifies the player. B, it does justify them continuing to add players.
You know, I saw where Scott Boras said this, and look, it's probably a half truth. A lot of people are good at giving half truths about stuff like this, that they've already paid for 2 years of Bryce Harper's contract in Philadelphia because of the upsell in tickets that they had once they sign him, that it's already paid for the first 2 years of his contract, the ticket sales that they were able to produce. Now, I don't know if that's totally true. That's coming from the agent. So I bet there's a truth in there that it's probably paid for maybe the majority of the first season and a little bit of the second season of Bryce Harper's contract, that that's how much hype he brought to Philadelphia. But I don't know what it would bring to Texas and the new stadium. First of all, I don't know the ticket sales of the new stadium. I know that they're doing pretty good. I don't know if they're doing awesome. If they sign Anthony Rendon next week at the winter meetings, I don't know how many people will then call up the Texas Rangers and order tickets, season tickets for next year, because I don't think individual tickets are on sale yet. So I don't know what it would bring in that value where you'd say, if we sign him, we immediately get this much money, which pays for this much of the contract.
This question is pretty interesting from the 469. If the Rangers acquire Rendon, would Josh Jung switch to shortstop? I think
he's not a shortstop. I've seen him play it in college, and I get it. He moved to shortstop in college. He's not a shortstop.
Would you kind of look and consider then maybe the possibility of that being a trade piece down the road?
It could be. Let's see how he develops. He's still a ways away. Mm-hmm. I know people want to project that everybody's just going to be awesome. There's a dude named Dylan Tate that was drafted higher than Josh Jung was.
Oh.
And that dude still hasn't made the major leagues yet, as far as I know. Maybe he's pitched a game or two in it, but he's been a very bad pitcher. That was the first pitcher taken in the 2014 draft that was a can't-miss guy. And he's missed so bad that he's been in multiple organizations, and everybody that gets him is like, he can't pitch. Now, I'm not saying that's the fate of Josh Jung, but then to put the opposite on him, that he's going to automatically be a great player, we don't know. We hope so. We don't know. This isn't NFL drafting where you take a dude in the top 10 and you just pretty much know he's going to be a contributor to your team pretty soon. I like him. You can move him to first base if you feel like he's really close. He's not really close from last year playing a little bit in the minor leagues. He did great in the minor leagues, but he didn't do it in double A. He didn't do it in just a level below the major leagues. We have to see what he's going to do in high A ball or double A this year to really have an idea if he can compete at a major league level.
What do you think about the future prospects of Addison Russell?
I was just about to ask that question. We were asked that on Twitter last night.
And not just in regards to the Rangers, but like just across Major League Baseball, because he's 25.
Okay.
He plays good enough defense. Not great, but good enough defense. He's had a WAR above 2 4 times and already had a WAR above 3 2 other times. But then obviously he brings a ton of off-the-field baggage with him. But Major League Baseball, I mean, the Cubs showed. They didn't cut him when he got suspended for domestic violence. They cut him when he wasn't playing well anymore and he wasn't worth the hassle. Do you think he will get picked up somewhere?
Yes, I do. Yeah, are you putting this also to me as the Rangers? Should they be interested?
No, I'm just more curious from a cross-baseball spectrum.
Yeah, I am curious about the Rangers because I don't think that they want to bring that into the new stadium.
He doesn't really have a position anyways. Like I said, Elvis is making $15, $16 million. Do I think Elvis will be the shortstop? I think he has 4 years left on his contract. I'm not 100% sure. No, he will not be the shortstop for the 4 years left on his contract. One more to two more years, he will be the shortstop, and then they will probably have to move him off of that position. And I don't know what to do at that point because right now you're not locked in as hard to Rougui Odor, but second base is somewhat taken. And if Elvis Andrus's offensive numbers aren't good at shortstop, you can't move him to third base. And that's even more of an offensive position where you expect 25 home runs and 80-plus RBIs. And so you can't take his numbers at short and go, man, they're not very good offensively at short, where you can be less of an offensive player, move him to third, and then he becomes, to me, even less valuable moving to third base. So I don't know exactly what to do with Elvis in maybe the last couple years of his contract. The other thing, too, when we're talking about this is Nick Solak was a bad third baseman last year. He's never played in his life, so it wasn't expected that he could just go over there, take some ground balls before games, and then actually be good at that position at the highest level. But what do we do with Nick Solak? Because right now, as we sit today, if somebody said, who's going to be the best hitter on the Texas Rangers in 2020? I think Nick Solak's part of that conversation.
That's why I was honestly...
Except I don't know where he's going to play.
Well, I was surprised to say that you were like, oh, Rougui looks pretty good to go. Are we not looking to bounce him out there and try Solak in second?
You know, in September, and I know that Rougui had a nice September, that was a free month. August was kind of a free month too, right? It was a tryout month. We can try different things. Even the Rangers talked about, look, we're going to maybe try some different things here. And they wouldn't try Solak at second base, which makes me think, how bad is he when they practice him at second base that they wouldn't even kind of put him at second base at all in the month of September? So to me, second base is out for him.
Okay.
They see him more as a left fielder. Is probably his position, but then you have Willie Calhoun, who's more of a left fielder, and you have Joey Gallo, who does play left field. So we have three left fielders, and there's one spot for left field, and those are three: Gallo, Solak, and Calhoun. In any order you want to put them, is the core of your offense, and they all play the same position.
Yeah, that's not good.
So this is where the Rangers have to make moves. Joey Gallo can be a great right fielder. We don't know the dimensions of the new field yet. At least I haven't seen the dimensions of the new field. But Joey probably needs to move to right field. He has a cannon of an arm. His arm will play better in right field than in left field, most likely. And so I look at it and go, Joey needs to move to right field, which means you need to trade Nomar Mazara in the next month or so. And that opens up left field for Calhoun and Solak to share.
Because you're
you
probably
have
DH. Santana in center, right?
I think they would like for Santana to be the super utility guy who can fill in at second, short, third, and outfield when need be. So he doesn't play center field every day, because if I play him in center field every day, who's my backup shortstop?
Okay.
Now, he can still do that. Don't get me wrong. He can do that. But I think Santana will be best used as a bench player who's playing 4 to 5 times a week, but he's playing different positions during that week.
Okay. I do have a question about Rendon and if you add him.
Okay.
Is that enticing to pitchers?
It should be because you're getting more offense and you're taking the Rangers, who is one of the worst defensive teams in baseball. There are worse. The White Sox looked really bad last year defensively. Obviously, the Baltimore Orioles, who were bad at everything, were bad
right.
at defense that I saw. And I don't know the National League as well as I know the American League. But the Rangers were a below-average defensive team. So if you're a pitcher and you're not a huge strikeout guy, you'd be like, well, man, if the ball is going to be put in play 2 out of my 3 outs per inning, which that's still a pretty good strikeout guy if you're striking out 1 per inning, that means we're going to have to make plays every once in a while. And if you're only striking out 6 guys per 9 innings, then the ball's getting put in play too much to look at this place and go, man, I think they're going to make the defensive plays I need to have my ERA low, to have my win total up. Offensively, I think this team is okay right now. I think John Daniels is going to try to do a lot next week to move a lot of pieces to try to make this thing, this puzzle, fit. He let it play out as long as he could. There's too many lefties. There's too many non-defensive guys on this team. So he has to figure out a way to maneuver and get 2 or 3 guys off of the team that are in your starting lineup to then make pieces fit better.
Is that, not to get too greedy, but assuming we picked up Rendon, would that automatically be a stop to the spending spree, or would you be like, oh, in for a penny, in for a pound, let's go?
I would hope not. At that point, I think you still need one more starting pitcher. You'd love for it to be Gerrit Cole or Strasburg. I don't think it's going to be that. But let's just go get another nice starting pitcher. And at least you have four. We want four guys you can count on. And then let all the young lefties compete for the fifth spot. Guys are going to get hurt. It's not like whoever doesn't make the team out of spring, oh, no, let's just say it's Palumbo and Burke. They're in AAA. Right. That's great for them to be in AAA. Are they ready to pitch in the major leagues? Probably not, but they can. But then you give those guys 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is, and then somebody gets hurt, and you're able to stick a guy up and go, oh, no, we don't have – it's not Adrian Sampson or nothing against Hirado, who still might make the team as a middle reliever. But when those guys are in your rotation, you're like, they can't start. Who's going to start the first inning? And then do we want them to pitch the second inning just in case and then try to throw that guy 3 to 4 innings and see if we can get away with 5 innings with this combination of people to give us a chance to win? Like, the opener thing works well when the guy who's pitching the second through the sixth inning is actually good at pitching.
Oh, man.
So that's where the opener can't mask. You still have to throw somebody out there for 3 to 5 innings minimum. And so what the Rangers are trying to do is, like, if we throw him an inning and we only need 3 innings out of him, can we accomplish the goal? I don't mind an opener, but still the guy who is the guy who's going to pitch the majority of the innings, you still have to feel confident that guy can go out and get 15 to 18 outs in a game.
Kevin, I saw this come in. I'm curious as to how you feel. And Mike, Hunter Pence, does he have a spot on this team?
As of today, no.
Why is that?
Well, if I look at, he can only play the outfield. I have Gallo, Mazzara, Chu, Delino DeShields, Nick Solak. Did I mention Willie Calhoun already?
Nope.
Or no? That's 6. Danny Santana is my super utility who I'm going to use. I've just named 6 outfielders, and that's all they can do.
Mazzara going to still be here?
I don't think so, but as of today. So you're asking me about Hunter Pence today.
Yeah.
No, he does not have a spot today. If the Rangers, what I would like to see them do, and I'm not saying give away these guys, trade Chu, trade Mazzara, that gets 2 lefties off of your team, that opens up maybe 1 spot for Pence to come in, to be a utility guy, to be a DH type guy, because his body couldn't handle the outfield. Look, it made the All-Star team, it was awesome, but then when we played him every day, he was great, but his body couldn't handle it at his age. So I would say I'd like to have Hunter Pence back, but you have to get, and I say get rid of, you have to trade 2 of your outfielders for Hunter Pence to make sense this offseason.
All right. Excellent stuff from Mike Bacsik. We'll talk with you again in just a little bit as we continue
maybe
to pregame.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, for the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.